This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, a community forum on helping ex-criminal offenders come back into the community is being held tonight in Kalamazoo. But first, we're going to discuss what's been happening on Western Michigan University's campus and in higher education in general with Western Michigan University President John Dunn. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. It's nice to be with you. Thank you.
We're also joined by Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Linda Ma and Battle Creek Enquirer reporter Sophia Merchant. Sophia, you have the first question for President John Dunn.
You know, going back to what we've kind of talked before in the past, what would you say is Western's future goals in terms of its presence in the Battle Creek area?
Thank you very much. It's an excellent question. We're very proud of the fact that we've had a longstanding, almost 100-year presence in Battle Creek, and Battle Creek's a very important community. Kellogg Community College, a great community college, has been an excellent partner for many, many years. And of course, we have the Kendall Center there and programs that we've delivered primarily to graduate level. And then, of course, an outstanding nationally known and recognized aviation program there. So we've had a longstanding presence. We continue to expand that. I'm very pleased. The School of Medicine, for instance, working residencies and creating opportunities at primarily now with the VA, as well as with other providers in the community. So the latest has been to be responsive to the students who are at Miller College and to help them in any way that we can. Miller has come to, I'm sure, what for them is a very difficult decision not to sustain themselves. They will continue through spring, and then from that point forward, there will not be necessarily a Miller College as we know it. So our goal is to make sure that the students there are well served, to work with the Higher Learning Commission as well as Miller to make sure that the accreditation standing, that those students will have a good teach out, as well as an opportunity then to continue to offer programs in Battle Creek, and which we clearly intend to do, whether that's at the Mauve Center or at KCC or at the Kendall Center. Those are still matters to be resolved, but we will be there, and we will be there for the long term.
And in your proposal, I know that sort of the proposed idea is to serve non-traditional students in that model.
Miller has done an excellent job of reminding all of us that there are many part-time students as well as students who are employed full-time trying to seek a degree and an opportunity. And so we want to join with and be partners in and to do that. And I'm excited about it. I think it's a great opportunity. And I think the citizens of Battle Creek and those who desire that opportunity and option will be very pleased.
The chairman of Western's board, Jim Hettinger, is quoted in Sophia's article about the possible expansion in Battle Creek of saying that the university should sharpen its skills in serving non-traditional students. We've got to do a whole lot better at that at Western, Hettinger said. Do you agree that there's more that can be done for students who are pursuing their degree in what we consider a non-traditional fashion?
Oh, sure. And an example of that and something that we're working on is there's a number of people in our community, our region, our state, who are very close to degree completion, but for whatever reason, it never happened. And I've been personally working with a couple people on that right now, to help them understand, hey, do you realize you're two courses short? Now, granted, you're a very successful person in the community doing some great things, but is that something on your bucket list you'd like to do and achieve? And it is. And so we can make that happen. So I think the idea that even right now, I'm very pleased with our Board of Trustees. We have a great group of people. But we have many, many of our students who are working 20 or 30 hours right now. And this community has been a great source of providing opportunities for our students. Almost any of the excellent restaurants that you would go into in Kalamazoo, the wait staff is clearly Western Michigan University students. And so, you know, it's always easy to tip and tip well there. You're helping them, right?
Linda?
Well, just following up on Gordon's question, are there things, I mean, specific things that you'd like to see Western do to help some of those students, whether it's, you know, different times for classes or supports or childcare opportunities? I don't know what could be done to help them.
Yeah, first of all, I'll go back to one of the points that I mentioned earlier, and that is that we are actively looking at and understanding students that, for whatever reason, were very close to degree completion but never completed. And are they not able to complete because they're place bound? They've moved to the UP or to Illinois or some other place. And what can we do to help them? And then invite them back and to know that there's support and services for them to achieve a degree completion. And even if that means that they finish with an undergraduate studies degree called university studies rather than a degree in business, for many, it's really the degree completion because they're already doing good things and successful. Your other point, though, I think from the standpoint of students who are working, I think we've always been attentive to that. We have over 5,000 jobs on the university campus for students. And I like it when students are engaged in work. And the balance is not too many hours. You know, I think once you get beyond 20 hours, it gets to be tough. But I do know that the students who work are very, very focused. Their time management skills are excellent. They know that, you know, there's just not a lot of downtime, and we want them to enjoy life, but at the same time, remember, this is their job. You know, they've got two, going to classes and supporting themselves and with generating income.
So I wanted to ask you about some of the racial unrest that's been spreading across the country on college campuses. What do you make of that, and do you have any concerns about that kind of concern over racial issues on Western's campus?
Mm-hmm. Always. You know, we want to make sure that the campus is a welcoming environment. That's our primary message. Along with that, we do some things that I don't know how unique they are. Sometimes people kind of scratch their head and say, really? But we believe that students need to acknowledge the presence of others when we walk across campus, faculty, staff, and students. So I think that much of what needs to occur on any university campus is a real effort to acknowledge the humanity that's around us in all of its shapes, forms, sizes, race, ethnicity, religious beliefs, convictions, whatever that might be, sexual orientation, that we need to make sure that this is a place that everyone feels comfortable and welcome. And then when someone, for whatever reason, is wronged, either by another person or wronged by the community as a whole, then we need to respond to that and make sure that, first of all, we reach out to provide support for that individual, apologize as necessary, and be sincere about that. We had a very recent thing on our university campus that was organized by some of our African-American students. I think it was extremely respectful. I think they wanted to show support for their brothers and sisters on other campuses. And, you know, I wrote a communication about that. Let's respect that. Let's honor those students, join with them, not oppose that or be difficult, because the goal is to, again, make sure that they feel that this is a place that cares about them. Yesterday, I sent out a communication to faculty and staff dealing with sort of this latest thing about people's religious convictions and beliefs and whether we ought to be judging people in some way that is harsh or unfair. No. This, again, is another form of diversity, that we respect all people's beliefs and convictions, and that includes the agnostic, the atheist, and whatever religious perspective an individual should have. We're a university, and as such, discourse, diversity of thinking and opinion will always exist, but it should be done in a manner that's very respectful.
I want to go back to your email for just a moment. Are you expressing there some concern that with some of the rhetoric about who can come to the United States and who we should not allow in, at least for a while, that international students may start looking at not just Western, but American colleges in general and saying, oh, I don't know if I'd be welcome there. I don't know how I'd be received. Is that part of what you were getting at?
Well, no, I was in part. But I was really going the other way, and that is to say this is a university that has a longstanding history, that we welcome people from all over the world. We've done it for years, and we're not deviating from our mission. And our responsibility is to make sure that all of us have the opportunity to have a much deeper understanding of the cultures of the world, the languages of the world, and that we all need to recognize, whether you're from Michigan or the United States or you're from another part of the world, that intellect, creativity, talent, and brilliance is in every corner of the world. And we need to respect that. We need to honor that. We need to be proud of the fact that we're from Michigan, obviously, or Illinois, or wherever the state might be. But we also need to make sure that our students understand the global platform that they are entering as they think about their future. And if they're not well prepared for that, then we have failed them badly. And so the presence of students from 100 different nations on a university campus is a critical first step. We need to maximize that in all ways possible so that there's more interaction and that we're really benefiting from that. We see good signs of that, but I think there's more that could be done.
You, in your State of the University address, going back now a few weeks, maybe more than a month now, you said that Western Michigan University is the most inclusive public university mm-hmm. in the state. Explain what that means exactly.
Yeah, when we talk about inclusivity, of course, we're talking about race and ethnicity, religion, sexual orientation, undocumented, making sure that there's a place for everyone at the university. And no one has challenged me on that. I keep waiting for someone to challenge me on that statement. But we're very proud, and our numbers have gone up every year for the last 9 years in terms of our commitment to what I would call the underrepresented populations, primarily the African-American, Hispanic, and also Native American, although we have not done as well with the Native American as I would like.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Western Michigan University President John Dunn, also joined today by Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Linda Ma and Battle Creek Enquirer reporter Sophia Merchant. Sophia.
So are there any new ways that the university is going to try to further improve its diversity or inclusion, some efforts that you guys are trying to pilot?
Well, one thing that we have done and we continue to expand, and we're very proud of it, and we get a lot of national acclaim now, and that's our foster youth program. And we don't, think of that. This gets back to the question of diversity or inclusiveness. But we know that in Michigan, we have over 500 youngsters that are aging out of foster care each year. We knew that 70% of those wanted to continue their education. Only 5% do. And so we are very focused on that. We have 160 young people that have aged out of foster care that are on our campus. We provide great support for them financially, a place to live, food on the table. And then they're also walking across the stage with degree in hand. And so that's very important to us. Another example of that is we're engaged in some very early conversations about first-time nonviolent youth offenders. And our state, like many states, we tend to lock those individuals up. Now, let me again say, it's first-time nonviolent youth offenders. And so we put them away for 2 to 4 years. They might develop a more sophisticated skill set that got them in prison in the first place because they're in there with individuals who have engaged in a lot of recidivism, and they keep coming back to the prison. And so they, hey, kid, how'd you get in here? And, well, I broke into a house. Well, did you check to see if the car was in the garage? No. Well, that's the first rule, okay? I don't know if it is or not, but there's got to be a better way, okay? There has to be a better way. Is it to put them into a more of a military camp kind of environment that doesn't have walls and fences, and if there's lines and boundaries, and if you walk across that, now you do go to the other place. But maybe to complete a GED, perhaps your high school degree, maybe some community college, and for some very bright young people, maybe we can get them going in terms of university degree. So that we as a people, society at large, that the return on the investment could be substantive and significant. But it's a hard sell because, the public is still a little uncertain about, well, why would we want to finance that when, I as a parent and been saving for years for my son or daughter or loved one. And, I understand that. But if we can grasp the larger societal need for all of us, I think we might be able to get there. So that's an example of some things that we're thinking of, but there are many, many others, yeah.
Linda?
Dr. Dunn, I was wondering if you'd talk a little bit about phase two on the Business Technology and Research Park. Where are you in the process? And I was wondering, when you're looking at phase two, are you hoping to attract the same kind of industries, businesses that are in phase one, or if you're looking for something different in that part of the park?
Thank you very much for asking the question. Thursday is a public hearing on this, sort of the design folks are holding that. That's intentional. We want to make sure that people have an opportunity to weigh in, provide feedback. Those who will eventually be located there, there's a lot of work yet to be done, but I think they'll be very similar to what we see now in the research park. I don't think the fundamental mission of the research park would change that much. And so we need to continue to think through opportunities for expansion, job creation, making sure that all of our citizens, including our newest, have the opportunity to have employment here. This is a marvelous place to live. We know that. And people want to come here, and it's a great place to locate for industry and engineering, biosciences. I think we may see a little bit more due to the enormous success of the medical school. We might see a little bit more of a push in some of the life sciences and biosciences.
I just had one other question about the BTR. There were some protests when phase two was announced, and a lot of the concern seems to be over the Asylum Lake area. Is the university committed to preserving Asylum Lake and not developing that area?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
No, I think that, thank you. It's a great question, and we are on record about that. But I think the other issue there that some protesters have, and we respect individuals and differences of opinion, is to make sure that as we develop the Orchard property, that we are very thoughtful with respect to any runoff, okay? Because there's other ways that you can really impact or hurt Asylum Lake, and it's not by proximity of having structures there, it's by having runoff. And I think this will allow us to make sure to address that in very thoughtful ways. And I think good objective analysis, and we would welcome people, transparency on this. I think people become much at ease about that. That's clearly on the radar, must be done, and will be done.
There were two Western Michigan University students who were in Paris at the time of that attack. They were reported safe shortly thereafter. But when something like that happens, is there sort of a review of safety procedures and sending students overseas and that sort of thing?
Absolutely. The first response, of course, is to work with our international office to know exactly who's and study abroad, as we do around the world at any time. But to make that call, then to do our part to network with those students to find out. Actually, there were three in France. One was not currently in Paris, and so we were worried about all three of them. We were able to determine where they were, location, and that they were fine, and then work with their families to also assure them. But yes, we have very good, when we have study abroad sites, we have mechanisms in place that we know that we've got backup support. And it could be an individual or an entity there. It could be a collaborative effort with another university that we've gone together to say, okay, we trust you, you trust us, your students are there, our students are there. Let's commingle our thinking and reduce our costs so that we're cost efficient because the number is small. But it's important, and every life is very important.
Do you ever have concerns when there's news like this? And, of course, we mentioned earlier some of the rhetoric about people coming from other countries here. But do you also worry that students and parents shy away from the idea of studying abroad? Because this, again, was another emphasis in your State of the University address, was the idea of being engaged globally.
Always, you know, we worry about all of those kinds of things. But I think parents and loved ones, in a final analysis, the history of study abroad here, and what a great example, study abroad with K College and their commitment. And I don't think any of us, for any reason, would be wise to back away from study abroad. If we have a flare-up in a certain part of the world and we have students there, we will recall them. We've done that before. That's not usual, but it can happen, and we want to be, you know, cognizant always where they are and what we can do to help them here. And I think this is the same pattern at most universities in the country.
Western Michigan University President John Dunn, as always, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being with you, and not only you, Gordon, but Sophia, and also Linda. Thank you very much for your time.
And we thank...
Happy holidays. Right?
Yeah. Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Sophia Merchant and Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Linda Ma. Thank you as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.